This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome back to the program author Stephen Waldman. His book is Founding Faith, Providence, Politics, and the Birth of Religious Freedom in America. He is the founder and editor at beliefnet.com, the largest website for religion and spirituality on the internet. Stephen, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good to be with you again.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the program. Your thoughts on the debate last night? Noticed that abortion was one of the big issues that came out of the debate, and of course that makes us think of values voters, and I know that you're tracking all of this stuff every day.
Well, yeah, I was particularly interested in that because the previous three debates, none of the values issues had come up. It was really very unusual, obviously, because everyone was very focused on the economy. And which again was mostly last night, but they did have one pretty meaty exchange about abortion, and it was fascinating. I mean, McCain at first had Obama on the defensive and was sort of defining him as an extremist. And you have to remember that in this stage of an election, that it's when it comes to abortion, it's all about trying to position yourself in the middle as a centrist. And the other guy is an extremist. So that's where McCain was headed, and he was having some success initially. But Obama ended up really turning it around, and in particular had this riff about wanting to work towards common ground on reducing the number of abortions, which is one of those expressions that pro-life activists hate. You know, it just made them hate Obama even more, but was very effective with undecided. So in other words, McCain ended up really trying to appeal to pro-life activists while Obama was more focused on independent and undecided voters.
And that's true for a lot of the other issues. McCain seems to constantly be running to secure his base.
Which at this late stage in the election is, you know, you shouldn't really have to do that.
Right. You should be running towards the middle and trying to get all those where the majority of voters are. They're in the middle, moderates, independents, which Obama seems to be doing rather effectively, if the polls mean anything.
Right. And it's certainly true that the remaining undecideds tend to be in the middle and are not culture warriors. They're not, you know, if you're a real ardent either pro-life or pro-choice person, you've probably made up your mind a while ago. You know, as has often happened, it just Obama had more discipline about, you know, keeping to a strategy, and McCain seemed a little more focused on scoring points and appealing, as you said, to the base.
We're talking with Stephen Waldman, author of Founding Faith and editor-in-chief of beliefnet.com, the largest website for religion and spirituality on the internet. Stephen, are you surprised that religion and values voting isn't a bigger factor in this election, or is it? And I'm just missing something.
It has definitely become less of a factor than in the past, and we saw that very clearly in a BeliefNet just released something called the 12 Tribes Study and a survey conducted by the University of Akron, and it showed very clearly that the percentage of people who list moral issues or social issues as at the top of the list is half of what it was in the last election, even among very religious voters. So that just gives you a sense of how dominant the economy is and an explanation for why you're just not hearing more about abortion and gay rights. Now, there certainly are voters for whom it's very important, as single issues, and there are other voters for whom it's kind of not a single issue, but it's kind of part of the package that helps them, you know, put together an image of someone. So it's not irrelevant, but it's definitely different from previous years.
And as you point out, the independents in the middle, and I would include myself in that, for us, God, gays, guns, abortions, the typical right-wing base issues, it doesn't really rank real high on our list.
Well, and it never has in a way for you, and this year, in addition to it not ranking high for you, it's not even ranking high for people who cared about it a lot last time. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah. So it's why you're starting to see people who are you're seeing a certain number of people who are pro-life voting for Obama, which just wouldn't happen as much if the economy wasn't of such great concern. They're not voting for Obama because of his position on abortion. They're just putting that to the side and, you know, just swallowing that one.
So more bread and butter economic issues are trumping the values voters that we've seen in the past. So in a way, this is a return to 1992 when, you know, it's the economy, stupid.
Right. And it's interesting. It's a good point of perspective because that's, you know, was the mantra for that year. And yet the economy that year was much better.
Yeah, exactly.
Than it is now. So you can, if the economy was trumping things then, you know, you can really get a sense of how much it is now.
My guest is Stephen Waldman of BeliefNet.com. And his book, which you've got to read, folks, is Founding Faith. Fantastic book about the origins of religious freedom in America. Steve, you mentioned the study that BeliefNet put out, the 12 tribes of politics. Can you share with us sort of a background of the study real quick, and then perhaps a few of the things that you learned from that study?
Sure. We had done this in 2004, and the reason was that we had this sense that when people thought about religion and politics, they tended to think of it as being two groups, the religious right and everyone else. And that was, you know, really not getting at some very interesting dynamics going on. So we worked with John Green, a professor at the University of Akron, who's like the foremost scholar of religion and politics, and sliced it up into groups based on their religious practice. And part of the premise was that the denominations are not necessarily the way to look at it. You know, you tend to, in the old days, we would talk about the Catholic vote and the Jewish vote and the Protestant vote. And that's not that meaningful anymore because, you know, a conservative Catholic will tend to have a lot more in common with a conservative Protestant than he does with a liberal Catholic when it comes to politics. So we sliced it up in different directions. So there's a religious right, but there's also a religious left. There's a group called centrist Catholics, moderate evangelicals, who are, you know, a different group than religious right, and you know, look for patterns. And well, there's a lot, you know, there were a lot of fascinating things in it. I think. You know, one of the things that we found was that what we called white bread Protestants, kind of old mainline Protestant, non-evangelical Protestants, which have been sort of a neglected group because we spend all the time, and I'm guilty of this, talking about evangelicals and Catholics, have become quite an important group. They're about 18% of the population. They used to be a pretty traditionally Republican group, kind of the Eisenhower Republicans. And they went for Bush last time. And this time they're going for Obama. And it's almost like the mirror image of what we saw when evangelicals got excited about McCain because of the Sarah Palin pick. Well, it turns out that the mainline Protestants, to generalize a little bit, were kind of turned off by the Sarah Palin pick. So it may have gained him some votes in one part of the chessboard, but left, to mix my metaphors, left some of his other pieces vulnerable.
We're talking with Stephen Waldman, the author of Founding Faith and editor-in-chief of BeliefNet.com. And folks, you can go to that website and get full information about this study, the 12 Tribes of Politics, which really is... this is a long time coming. I mean, it's. I think this is a really important study because it really does shed some light on how religion and politics are really coming together on the ground rather than just something somebody may have written 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, and it's changing. You know, it's not the case that the way religion and politics plays out now is the same as it was last time or over the years. I mean, there's, I'll give you another example that's really gotten very little attention and may become quite important. You know, early in the campaign, I think it was noted that Hispanic voters, Latino voters, were trending towards the Democrats. And that's still true, and that's a big deal, because they went for Bush last time, and now they're going substantially for Obama, and that's a lot of votes. Well, it turns out that what happened last time was specifically that evangelical Protestant Hispanics went for Bush. Other Hispanics didn't so much. Catholic Hispanics didn't. And what apparently happened was that Bush was winning these folks over not so much with his appeal to Hispanics, but with his appeal to evangelicals. So, but they have now shifted back to Obama. And partly it's because of the economy, and this is like what we were talking about before. This is one of those groups that last time around was highly influenced by the moral issues, and this time around isn't, and are voting economics. And when they started looking at the world that way, they ended up becoming more democratic.
We're talking with Stephen Waldman of BeliefNet.com. Steve, what's your take? And you've written about this online, but share it with us here. Your take on the Bill Maher's new movie, Religious, which I must admit I have not seen. I don't know if I will, but I'll ask you, should I see it?
Well, I thought it was funny. I probably shouldn't say that, but it was funnier than I expected. I actually have never found Maher to be all that funny, and this movie was quite funny at parts in terms of, it's shooting fish in the barrel, but they picked some sort of extreme charlatan-type religious figures and mocked them pretty effectively. I mean, there are a couple problems I have with it. One is just a very basic problem, which is that they talk, he finds certain element, unsavory aspects of religion, but he completely ignores every other aspect of religion that's positive or is either helping people individually or has improved the world. It's just ignored. So it's obviously a kind of very one-sided view.
So he has a selective reading of religion, just as he accuses those who have selective readings of their texts.
Exactly, and that's very well put. And he also, it's in a way, the movie is an attack on fundamentalism, but he ends up kind of coming off as a fundamentalist himself, a secular fundamentalist. I mean, he starts off the movie by saying, all I'm really trying to champion here is doubt, the freedom to have doubt. But by the end of the movie, it's very clear he has no doubt. he's as certain and, in some ways closed-minded as the people he's making fun of. So that was the substantive problems I had with it. The other set of problems I have is there was a lot of deception that went into the making of the movie.
Sort of a Borat kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. And if you saw Borat, and this was by the same producer, they used a lot of the same techniques. They didn't tell people that Bill Maher was involved in the movie. Maher would just sort of show up at the last minute. And they would, in one case they told him it was for PBS, and in another case, they snuck Bill Maher in through the side door.
At the museum, yeah.
At the Creation Museum, because the PR guy knew who Bill Maher was, but the person who was being interviewed didn't. If they were packaging this movie like Borat as a sort of a gotcha mischievous comedy, that would be one thing. But they keep calling it a documentary. And in a letter to BeliefNet, Larry Charles actually defended it as being like 60 Minutes and using 60 Minutes techniques. And that's just not true. I mean, they've completely flouted normal documentary standards, but still call themselves a documentary. So that's more of an objection as a journalist than as a religious matter.
On a somewhat related note, I have to ask you before I let you go, and just a last quick question here. is the new atheism, you know, Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens, and is that getting any traction in America, or is it sort of just a media invented thing that you see talked about in the media, but a lot of people aren't into it?
Now, there's some real meat to it. I mean, they're selling a ton of books, for one thing. And I think the Religious movie was very much banking on tapping into that same sentiment. One of the interesting things about it is that the Pew Forum did a survey, big survey, about a couple months ago, and they got pretty deep into the views of atheists. And it turns out a lot of atheists believe in God and miracles, which is sort of like... seems to defy the definition of atheism.
It's like jumbo shrimp, isn't it?
Right. So a God-believing atheist. And so it turns out that atheism has become almost sort of a social group. Like it's a group of people who are angry at religion and organized religion and feel that it has done a lot of harm. But in fact, it doesn't actually necessarily mean what you think it means in terms of theology and God.
Might that be the 13th tribe?
Well, we have one there called seculars.
That's
part of the 12, so that probably covers it.
Stephen Waldman, the author of Founding Faith, Providence, Politics, and the Birth of Religious Freedom in America. And you can read his work in the Wall Street Journal and, of course, online as editor-in-chief of beliefnet.com. Steve, it's always an honor to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.